I'm Kyle Rice, awful test taker turned physical therapist and standardized test coach for over 5,000 physical therapists worldwide. It wasn't that long ago that I struggled with anxiety, lack of confidence, and the fear of failing the NPTE. Fast forward through the challenges, the 13 standardized test failures, and many lessons learned, and you'll see the life I have today, a life filled with love, financial freedom, and a dream job that allows me to change lives every single day. I created the NPTE Clinical Files podcast to give you simple, actionable strategies along with a step-by-step walkthrough of NPTE-based questions. All of this so that you can dominate your exam like I did and achieve your dream. So if you're a driven PT student who's looking to pass the NPTE and start creating a life you love, you're in the right place. Enjoy the show. For this week's clinical file, we have Heather, and Heather is a 32-year-old who presents 2 weeks postpartum with low back pain. She has a referral to evaluate and treat her 2.25 centimeter diastasis recti. Which of the following interventions would be the most appropriate to treat this condition? So we have A, hook-lying abdominal crunches, B, hook-lying head lifts while hands crossed over midline, C, hook-lying diagonal trunk curls, and D is supine pelvic floor repeated contractions. All right, my women's health, men's health people, stand up right now. Y'all, I'm super excited about this content today. The reason why is I have so many of my students who really want to go into like women's health and work with patients postpartum and all of that stuff. And I know this is a really growing area right here. So for all my people that are going into that, let's get this job done. Now, here's the deal. I will say that there's a lot of thought processes, a lot of schools of thought when it comes down to pelvic health, diastasis recti, and all of that stuff. But for my people listening to me right now, be careful because on the NPTE, they don't necessarily follow what your CI has taught you or maybe what your specific PT school has taught you. You have to really look at what is the NPTE going to look as the correct answer. And so I'm getting my information from an NPTE reference textbook, which is known as Our Therapeutic Exercise by Carolyn Kistner and Lynn Allen Colby. So check that out if you really want to have the information that they're going to use on the NPTE. So keep this in mind. Cool? All right, let's go up to the top of this question. We got Heather is a 32-year-old who presents 2 weeks postpartum with low back pain. All right, straightforward first sentence, I would say. 32-year-old, 2 weeks postpartum, so after birth, and then the patient has low back pain. Obviously, the majority of us have at least had some experience with low back pain, whether it's ourselves or being inside the clinic with someone who's had it. So that's pretty straightforward. Let's continue forward. She has a referral to evaluate and treat her 2.25 centimeter diastasis recti. All right, let me stop there for a minute because it's really important that we understand this diastasis recti. So diastasis recti is going to be a separation of the rectus abdominis muscles in the midline at the linea alba. We typically see this in patients who are postpartum or even during pregnancy because of the hormones that are released that cause a lot of ligamentous laxity, connective tissue laxity. So again, we have the separation of the rectus abdominis muscles in the midline at the linea alba. Now, is it specific to patients who are pregnant or who give birth? No, you could see this in a bunch of different populations. However, for this question, we are dealing with someone who is postpartum. All right, so keep that in mind. We have a 2.25 centimeter diastasis recti. All right. So that's significant. What you need to have down in your notes, this is a writer downer, people, that anything that is above 2 centimeters is considered significant. And when it comes down to exercises, you really should not do anything other than corrective exercises until you get the diastasis recti down to 2 centimeters or less. All right, so corrective exercises, remember that. You do those anytime that you have a diastasis recti that's above 2 centimeters. Corrective exercise. All right, let's continue that forward. It says in our question, Sam, which of the following interventions would be the most appropriate to treat this condition? I gave you a little bit of a spoiler there. The whole corrective exercises thought, okay? So let's go into the answer choices again for those of you on the podcast. We have A, hook-lying abdominal crunches. B, hook-lying head lifts while hands crossed over midline. C, hook lying diagonal trunk curls, and D is supine pelvic floor repeated contractions. What's your answer? Shout it out loud. Let's get it. So A says hook lying abdominal crunches. Would we do this? So I had quite a few of you select this answer, but I would say, hold on a minute. We have a patient who has a significant diastasis recti, meaning that it's above 2 centimeters, right? Okay. So here's the thing. The only type of exercises that we should be doing for this patient are more of the corrective exercises as it relates to diastasis recti, right? So is hook lying abdominal crunches a form of corrective exercise? The answer to that is no. I mean, corrective exercises in your text is more of your head lifts or head lifts with pelvic tilting. Those are the corrective exercises that you would do. So A, I would automatically mark it out. It is too aggressive. I'm putting an X next to it. Let's take a look at B. B says hook lying head lifts while hands crossed over the midline. Talk to me about that one. Is that correct? I see a few of you selecting this one. Yes, I like it. Why? Because we have a significant diastasis recti that is what? Above 2 centimeters, absolutely. And therefore, we need to do what? Corrective exercises only. And so hook lying head lifts, that is considered a corrective exercise. Now, I know you may or may not have been thrown off by this while hands crossed over midline, but this is a protective technique where you cross your hands over midline and you approximate the middle of the abdomen. So it's making sure that we're not putting too much stress through that linea alba area, that we're approximating the ends of those abdominal muscles. So B looks like a great answer here. I'm going to hold on to it, but hold up a minute. Let's take a look at C. C says hook lying diagonal trunk curls. Already I could tell you, this is a bit too aggressive. This is not one of the corrective exercises that you should be doing if you're above 2 centimeters. So therefore, I'm going to automatically put an X next to it. For those of you who have trouble on your MPTE or in your practice exams visualizing interventions, it's really important that we visualize these and that we practice doing that. Practice visualizing your patient being in hook lying right now in a more of a supine position, but the legs are bent up, knees flexed, hip flexed, all right? And then the person is raising themselves up and going into a diagonal trunk curl. That is going to be C. And again, that's a bit too aggressive. Remember this is a key point, that muscles like the external obliques or internal obliques are muscles that can put a lot of stress on that linea alba and really pull those rectus abdominis muscles apart. So we have to be very careful not to be overactivating those muscles because they can cause a worsening diastasis recti, okay? So C is out. Let's take a look at D. D says supine pelvic floor repeated contractions. A lot of you selected this answer, and I'm glad. You know, this is good. I really wanted you to get down to B and D because, you know, D is an attractive answer. For a lot of us, pelvic floor repeated contractions, it's like, yes, this patient is postpartum. I want the patient to contract their pelvic floor, like, but here's the thing. Is this intervention going to address the diastasis recti, though? And the answer to me is no. Now, the patient may need this to enhance their pelvic floor muscles in some form, whether that's strengthening or endurance or whatnot. That's true. They may need that. But that's not going to address the primary issue in the question, which is the diastasis recti. Therefore, D is incorrect. I'm putting an X next to it. And that leaves us with our final answer today of B as in boy, hook lying head lifts while hands crossed over midline. Congratulations to those of you who got this one correct. I'm going to do a quick recap here. We had a patient postpartum 2 weeks who had lower back pain. The major issue with this patient was their diastasis recti. It was significant. it was 2.25 centimeters. Remember this for your notes, that anything above 2 centimeters is considered significant diastasis recti. And if it's above 2 centimeters, I must do what type of exercises? Corrective exercises, absolutely. So the question was really asking, hey, if your patient has a significant diastasis recti, which of the following interventions would I do? The only one that is considered a corrective exercise was B, hook, line, head lifts while hands were crossed over midline. Congratulations to those of you who got this one correct. If you're a PT student or new grad, maybe you're a PTA student or new grad, and you're struggling with passing your practice exams, you feel like you have the knowledge, but yet your scores aren't improving and you're continuously getting questions wrong. I want you to remember, I see that stuff all of the time. And a lot of times it's not your knowledge. You're smart enough to pass it, but you just don't know how to play the NPTE game. Yeah, there's specific test-taking skill that you need to have in order to use your knowledge and apply it correctly to the questions. You may be feeling that, or maybe you've had a faculty member in the past who has told you, you're smart, but you're just not able to apply your information on my tests. Have you heard that before? If that is you, I want you to understand that this is a problem that can be fixed, and a lot of people are fixing it right now. How you can get a start on fixing it is by joining my free private Facebook group where I do trainings. And now, since we're getting closer to the next NPTE coming up in 2023, I am going to be addressing test-taking skills, helping you apply your knowledge to the question so you can finally start raising your score instead of getting the 65s and the 60s and the 59%. If you want to stop having that problem, change the game, and finally pass the NPTE and move on with your life, you're going to join my free private Facebook group. Do it. www.nptegroup.com. Again, that's www.nptegroup.com. Do it right freaking now. Get in there and we'll help you out. All right. I also know some of y'all are looking for some quick ways to learn information, to knock down major concepts in less than 5 minutes. The best way to do that is using our cheat sheets. We're getting raving results about those. How can you get a free set of our cheat sheets? Go to www.nptecheatsheets.com. So whether you're on iTunes, Spotify, Ghana, Overbreak, wherever you're at in podcast land, go into the show notes, click the link in there, and you can get it. Hi, this is Kyle, and thanks for downloading the podcast. I always enjoy spending this time with you, and I hope that you leave today feeling motivated and with a better understanding. Make sure to subscribe to get new mock NPTE questions each week. I deeply appreciate your support. It helps keep this mission going. And as I always say, keep learning, stay committed. I'll see you next time.